What to do with your hands. Various subtle energy pathways in the body have been mapped out, understood, and used in particular ways in the yogic and meditative traditions for millennia. We intuitively know that all our body postures make their own unique statements, which radiate inwardly as well as outwardly. Nowadays, this goes by the term body language. We can use that language to read how other people feel about themselves, because people are continuously broadcasting such information for anyone with a sensitive receiver to pick up. But in this case, we are speaking of the value of becoming sensitive to the language of one's own body. That awareness can catalyze dramatic inner growth and transformation. In the yogic traditions, this field of knowledge concerns certain positions of the body, known as mudras. In a way, all postures are mudras. Each makes a particular statement and has an energy associated with it. But mudras are usually referencing something more subtle than the posture of the entire body. Their focus is primarily on the positioning of the hands and feet. If you go to a museum and carefully observe the Buddhist paintings and statues, you will quickly notice that in the hundreds of different depictions of meditation, whether sitting, standing, or lying down, the hands are in a range of different positions. In the case of sitting meditation, sometimes the hands are on the knees, palms down. Sometimes one or both palms are up. Sometimes one or more fingers of one hand are touching the ground, while the other hand is raised up. Sometimes the hands are together in the lap, with the fingers of one hand lying atop the fingers of the other, the thumb tips gently touching, as if circling an invisible egg to form what is called the cosmic mudra. Sometimes the fingers and palms are placed together over the heart in the traditional posture of Christian prayer. This same posture in Oriental greeting signifies a bow in recognition of the divinity within the other person. These hand mudras all embody different energies, which you can experiment with yourself in meditation. Try sitting with your hands palms down on your knees. Notice the quality of self-containment here. To me, this posture speaks of not looking for anything more, but simply digesting what is. If you then turn both palms up, being mindful as you do it, you may note a change in energy in the body. To me, sitting this way embodies receptivity and openness to what is above, to the energy of the heavens. The Chinese say, as above, so below. Sometimes I feel a strong impulse to open to energy from above. It can be quite helpful at times, especially in periods of turmoil or confusion, to emphasize receptivity in your sitting practice. This can be done simply by opening your palms to the heavens. It's not that you are actively looking for something magically to help you. Rather, you are making yourself available to higher insights, priming a willingness in yourself to resonate with energies we usually think of as elevated, divine, celestial, cosmic, universal, of a higher order and wisdom. All our hand postures are mudras in that they are associated with subtle or not so subtle energies. Take the energy of the fist, for instance. When we get angry, our hands tend to close into fists. Some people unknowingly practice this mudra a lot in their lives. It waters the seeds of anger and violence within you every time you do it, and they respond by sprouting and growing stronger. The next time you find yourself making fists out of anger, try bringing mindfulness to the inner attitude embodied in a fist. Feel the tension, the hatred, the anger, the aggression, and the fear which it contains. Then, in the midst of your anger, as an experiment, if the person you are angry at is present, try opening your fists and placing the palms together over your heart in the prayer position right in front of him. Of course, he won't have the slightest idea what you're doing. Notice what happens to the anger and hurt as you hold this position for even a few moments. I find it virtually impossible to sustain my anger when I do this. It's not that the anger may not be justified. It's just that all sorts of other feelings come into play which frame the anger energy and tame it, feelings like sympathy and compassion for the other person, and perhaps a greater understanding of the dance we are both in, the dance of one thing inevitably leading to another.